ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. I'm the host of the show, and I am excited that you're here. And for all of you out there listening and watching, thank you for being here today. I appreciate you. If you're watching us on Facebook or on YouTube or wherever you're at on E360 TV, wherever you can, like and subscribe and let people know we're here. But you can watch us live all over the place as we go into the show today. So our show today, I'm excited to welcome to the show Joshua T. Berglund, who, if you don't know, is a pretty awesome human being, and I'll tell you more about him in a minute. But we are doing a show called From the Heart today, and this is a little new in that we are not, other than the topic of From the Heart, we're going to see where this goes as we evolve the show today. And I think both of us are excited about this and to have a conversation, and we've never actually had a conversation like this before. So I'm excited that Josh is here and that we're going to have this conversation, and we'll be right back right after this to talk more about that. All right, let's get started. We're going to start with the book, First Things First, for everybody who has not experienced it, www.fearisachoicebook.com. Fear is a Choice is a powerful, powerful book that I encourage you to get. It's on Barnes & Noble and Amazon and IndieBound and the other one that I can never remember, where you look at it on the computer. That's so funny that I can, a Kindle, that I can never, that word never comes to my brain. But what this book does, what this is about, and why I'm excited about this and sharing this with you is that this is all about changing your relationship with fear. The book talks how we start from the beginning and how fear is sort of entrained into our experience from a very, very, from the beginning. And that that experience of fear, we pick up that mantle when we become conscious enough of it and we begin to carry it into our life experience. And so why I wrote this book is that I wanted to reach as many people as I could about changing this relationship with fear. Because when we live in a fear-based experience, when we live from that place, we kind of dumb down our experience. We dumb down our light, as it were. And I kind of always like to use this analogy of looking through an eyeglass here or a monocle, something that restricts your vision or restricts it and keeps you from seeing all the possibility and potential that exists for you out there. So this book is going to help you to migrate through that experience and to learn and to see how you've used fear on yourself, how you tend to adopt and hold on to those things that keep you in a fear-based consciousness instead of an opportunity-based experience. And once you reach that place of surrendering that fear and come into that opportunity-based experience, there's an alignment process that happens when you tap into that greatest part of yourself, when you align with the greatest part of who you are. And that's what this book is all about. So I encourage you to check it out, www.fearisachoicebook.com. You can get that via the website. There are links there. There's videos there. There's testimonials there. Check it out. I'm sure that you will find it very impactful and very useful. And we'll be right back again. All right. My world is good. How's your world, guys? This is a movement that I started this year in 2021. And the purpose of this movement is really simple. It's to help us each to focus into the goodness that exists in our world, in our lives particularly. I kind of have the vantage, the viewpoint of we are 7.5 billion, 8 billion unique worlds inhabiting this one planet. And each of us has the responsibility of living our own lives because no one can live our life for us. No one can make our choices for us. No one can do the things that we need to do to execute our life. And so this for me was a way of saying, I want to create something here. I want to build a momentum. I want to build a movement that doesn't require anything other than your focus and attention and energy. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your politics are. It doesn't matter what your religion or spirituality is. It doesn't matter what your sex is. This is a neutral, positive statement that you can incorporate into your world, that as you do, you begin to generate this goodness. You begin to generate this experience of goodness in your world. And because what we perceive is reflected back to us, the thoughts, the feelings, the ideas that we carry, when we begin to really dive into this concept, this experience of my world is good, you begin to change again. It's a release from a limited perspective. So my world is good is simple. You just, when you wake up in the morning, 10 times, my world is good. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. And it seems simple, and it is simple, because the simplicity of it is what helps to myelinate that new belief system into your brain. It begins to impact the whole being. So my world is good. You get it 10 times in the morning, 10 times later in the day, and use it throughout the day if you're feeling off, if you're feeling your energy dropping and you're not sure why. Dial into my world is good and spin the energy up. It may not change the whole world in one breath, but it will alter your energy so that whatever you're dealing with, you come at from a new perspective because you're seeing from goodness instead of from some other perspective. So that's the basis of this year of conscious creation. This is the idea of us, let's get together in conscious mind and conscious thought and create change that helps us all move forward in a positive direction toward love. That's ultimately what it's about. So we're going to be right back and coming back here with Joshua. So bear with us. We'll be right back. All right, real quick, as before we bring Joshua in, I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. Joshua is the chairman and founder of the Live Mono Worldwide Foundation and Multimedia Broadcast Network. He's a TV and film producer and the host of Gratitude Unfiltered. Joshua, working with his wife, Jessica Lynn, are passionate about elevating the voices of the voiceless. They are driven to elevate the passion, purpose, and mission of those that they're blessed to serve alongside while using those gifts they were blessed with to be a blessing to others. So if y'all would with me all at the same time, let's say hi to Joshua T. Berglund. Hi, Joshua.
Hello, my friend. Good to see you again.
Yes.
I've been watching your show for a little bit, man. You do a great job. I love what you do. I love what you're creating. So it's a big honor for me to be on here today with you. Thank you.
Oh, I appreciate that so much. And I love the work. I love the work you're doing. And it's interesting to me. You know, we're coming at this show today from the heart. And I feel compelled because there are so many things that as I've watched you and in particular, the new work you're doing with The Devil Inside.
Inside me, yeah.
Is so interesting because there's so many things in parallel. And when I say in parallel, the things that you've dealt with, I think other than I haven't had to deal with addiction to drugs. That's the one thing I have not had to deal with. But all of the rest of it is sort of the panorama of my life. And it's just awesome for me. I get into other people's experiences and seeing how we evolve over time. You know, that where we started from and where we come to and the energy that we carry with us in those experiences. And then here we are in this place called E360 TV in this world where we're, you know, we do these shows and we have a different focus to the message. But I think ultimately the message is the same. It's all to get to love. It's all to connect to God. It's all to build this relationship and to have that relationship carry our lives forward because we are so deeply immersed in that connection and in that into that alignment. So I wanted to acknowledge that only because I just think it's cool. And I think it's cool to be here now to talk about it together, or whatever we end up talking about, but that we can share our, that we can share our perspectives of these things, and we can really embrace them because they're ultimately leading to the same destination, which I think is kind of fascinating.
Yeah, that's, you know, the, it's amazing to me how I'm a follower of Christ. It's something I don't hide. Mm-hmm. I consider myself a shock jock evangelist. Mm-hmm. And if you've heard any of my messages, they're a bit shocking. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that for me, what happened?
Oh, nothing. I just.
Oh,
sorry.
I thought the TV crapped out or whatever. But I, you know, for me, it was Jesus. I tried all of these other ways, but what I've learned about Jesus in my walk that's a little bit different than what most people would think is that the Jesus I know is closer to the spiritual but not religious people than it is the Christian religious people. And I'm not in that box. In fact, I mean, even though I belong to a church, I love my church, I love the ministry I have in Oklahoma, the ministry that we have, but the church I go to here in Minneapolis, I love it. Mm-hmm. But the church, the way that I see the church, and I actually broke it, but I actually broke the glass on it, but my wife and I are all about church redefined. And our, and the whole point of that is the church is a box and it's a building that no one wants to walk into. And people have been hurt by the church. I'm hurt by the church freaking every weekend. Like sometimes even during the week. I get hurt. I'm like, dadgummit. I want to serve in the church. I want to do all of these things that got it. Like, I'm good at what I do. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm trying to go to these churches and do all this. I'm trying to serve in the church and they don't really want my help. Mm-hmm. And it really is freaks me out because someone, but the secular world wants me. The secular world is hiring me and giving me all of these opportunities. And then, and I remember this, I was going to this church. I'm not going to say the name, but I was like begging to get to serve, begging to do all of these things that I could see clear as day that could be done for them. And that I know how to do and have all that they need to be able to do it. They would not give me the time or day. And it, I remember hearing from God going, don't get attached. Don't get attached. And you know what? It's made so much more sense now. And as much as I get hurt by the church, my job is not to go in and talk to the converted. My job is to go into the streets and go find the people that were kept. You said I was a drug addict. Actually, honestly, I was addicted to anything that helped me forget about how effing awful how much I hated myself and hated my life. I was a chemsex addict, if anything, because here's the thing. I've been clean for a long time now, but to this day, I still can't have sex without wanting to do drugs, and I can't do drugs without wanting to have sex. They got to quit doing drugs, but you know what I'm saying?
Sure,
They went hand in hand, and then would go the not eating for 4 days, and then it would be eating donuts and cheeseburgers and all that stuff. I always joke that cocaine made me fat, but it really did because I wouldn't eat for 5 days straight, 4 days straight. But when I did, I was eating cheeseburgers and donuts and I got up to over 300 pounds. So,
oh, wow.
Anyway, so to your point or to what you were saying, for me, it was Jesus. I tried Buddha. I tried all these different things, but man, my sixth time in jail and I'm screaming to God about why he won't change me and why he won't fix me. Well, when he answered me, it became a really big wake-up call.
Yeah, I hear that.
That's when I had my moment with God. But anyway, so to your point, it's very, very similar how our the focus and what we're trying to teach people and what we want to do for the world really does mirror each other. It's just a different path.
Yep. I had when I was in college, I went actually – more to the story, but when I was there, I went to the school. I went to a private Catholic college, and I was within an inch of becoming a priest. I lived in the seminary for 6 months, actually for the first year I was there. And my crash point at the end of that experience was me getting obliterated, driving over every traffic sign on campus, and then going back to my room, taking a half a bottle of aspirin and drinking a beer.
Ooh.
In hopes that this horrid experience would end, which was the horrid experience of my conflict with, here I was in a seminary feeling this incredible connection, which I've always felt. It wasn't new. It was just not, where do I express this? And being in an environment that didn't serve it, being in an environment that did not serve the calling. And I said, wait a second, what am I doing here? And so I had to, that crash and burn was my way of severing the belief that it had to be the church instead of being the relationship.
Yes.
And so that's where it took me to the relationship. And so
it
that's
is the
where
relationship.
It's been. Yeah.
And it's a okay. personal relationship. I want to talk about this. So
good. So hold it. Cause we got to take a segment break.
Dead gum segments. At least we don't have too many commercials. All right.
No, not too many commercials, but
we'll be back after this.
We'll be right back. Well, we're going to go into a moment. We're going to do a moment of focus because I love to have everybody who's watching us dialing into the field that we are creating right now. And I have a feeling that over the course of the next 40 minutes or so, we're going to get so into the love field that I want everybody there with us. And so that's, I like to take a few minutes to focus us all on doing that. So if you don't mind, it'll just be a couple minutes. We'll be on the other side. We'll be right back. I'm going to put you in the green room and be right back. All right, guys, here we go. We're going to take this moment to focus. So you guys know, those of that watch regularly, this is a portion of the show that I like to do to bring us all together in the same field of energy, as what I like to call it. This is the same space. So Joshua and I are going to be talking about a lot of things. And as you are intending with us, my desire is that you get your questions answered. You have your thoughts addressed. You can be a part of this conversation, even though we're not face-to-face talking to each other. So I'd like you to start with inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth. I'm going to do this a little differently today than I usually do. But inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth. Breath is the cornerstone for me. Breath is the foundation for me of how I keep my own space in alignment, how I keep my relationship, as we were just talking about, how I keep that relationship solid. Breath is in all aspects is life force. It's prana, it's chi, it's the energy that animates this physical being that we are walking through this world in. And so the more that you can work with your breath, the more that you can manage your breath, and the more that it becomes a conscious process instead of an unconscious process, the more power you have to move and change your own energy and your own experience. So breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, I want you to settle into your space, taking the deep breaths in through the nose and out through the mouth. And I want you to close your eyes, and as you settle into this space, I want you to focus into your heart space, right into the center of your chest. I want you to bring all of your awareness there as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. I want you to feel that space, that heart space, that space that emanates the love that is you. And I want you, as your eyes closed, I want you to become aware of your field. And your field to me is the energy that is all of you. So it's not just this physical body that you're dealing with. It's everything that you experience within the realm of outside of your physical experience, because all of it is impactful and all of it is important, because as you move through the world, as you think, as you feel, as you notice, as you attend to things, all of that puts a focus to your energy. And then your energy goes out into the world through that focus. And then it's reflected back to you in your perception. So we want to find a place here where you can get settled into this beautiful heart space. And I want you to notice your field. And now I want you to take that field and I want you to bring it inside. I want you to consciously choose to bring this space into your heart. And the reason I want you to do that is I want you to experience yourself from the inside. And we're going to add one more element to this. And that is, Joshua was talking about about Christ. And I have a very strong passion for being able to align to energies. And there is a Christ consciousness. That is the energy of Christ, the energy of Jesus. I want you to be in alignment with that energy, just to feel it. Feel the energy. Call on that energy in your space, in your heart right now while you are sitting in this energetic field. I want you to call that energy because I want you to see and feel and experience the unconditionalness of that energy, the lack of judgment of that energy, the extraordinary peace of that energy. I want you to feel the enormous love that just exists for you, for me, for all of us, that's there all the time. The only reason we don't experience it is because we restrict the flow between that consciousness and our experience. So I want you to breathe into that connection. As you allow that consciousness to kind of descend and fill your heart space, feel the warmth, feel the tingle, feel the upliftment of the presence of that energy in your space, regardless of where you are right now, this moment. Feel that. Feel that extraordinary, unlimited potential and power and love and joy and acceptance. Just be in that experience inside your own body. Feel a level of acceptance inside your being that maybe you've never felt before. Allow it. Be with it as you're inhaling through the nose and exhaling from the mouth. Let that cycle of breath, as you inhale, you're taking in all this new energy, all this new life. And as you exhale, you're surrendering. In every moment of your life, every time you inhale, you take in new energy. Every time you exhale, you surrender the last moment that you just had. So in the context of this Christ consciousness, feeling this incredible love and acceptance, you are now taking in and releasing. And every moment you have the ability to surrender. And I want you to tap into, as this Christ energy fills, this consciousness fills your body, I want you to become aware of how powerful you are. And what I mean by that is that you are all of it. You are all of it. And that when we hold ourselves in judgment, we hold ourselves in separation from that love, and we don't need to. We simply surrender like we do with our breath. We simply surrender. So let's take a moment. We're going to run through a couple cycles of breath. I want you to take this in and really experience this deeply. So we're going to begin with that inhale. Inhaling through the nose, two, three. We're going to inhale to four. We're going to hold that, and then we're going to release to six, because we're going to release more than we put in, so that we release all of that old dead energy, all that old stuff, just all that old stale breath, just leaving our body, creating a space for new and more. So as you purge out to six, and then you're going to rest in that emptiness, preparing to receive the energy that you're asking for. So we inhale to a count of four, two, three, four, resting at the top, feeling that fullness, feeling that amazing richness. And then consciously choosing to surrender it as we purge out of the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six. Excellent. And now rest. Rest in the emptiness. Have a relationship with the void. Prepare to receive as you inhale, taking in that new energy, breathing in. Two, three, four. As your heart is opening, you're allowing that Christ consciousness to fill you. And you're resting in that and feeling that amazing experience, and then choosing to surrender it in this moment, letting it all go, because it's going to be another moment of bliss, another moment of power, another moment of joy every single time when you allow it. So we continue that breath process, inhaling, two, three, four, feeling full again, and then choosing it, surrendering it to three, four, five, six. and resting in that emptiness, in that void, relaxing into that space, ready to receive as you engage the breath again. Carry that cycle on by yourself while you take in these words. I want you to feel these words and just let them wash over you. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. I am. And take that last full, deep, rich, beautiful breath, feeling that amazing energy of love and acceptance that you have now brought into your experience. Now from here, you integrate that experience. That means you take it in and you allow it to inform who and what you are and how you share yourself in the world. And as you do, I want you to be conscious now as you release your energy, release that field that you've been holding into the heart, release it back out, and just notice the magnificence of all that you are, of all that you are. It's extraordinary, it's powerful, and it's amazing. And all of us should tap into that at least once a day. I'm going to bring Joshua back in as we carry on this conversation. Thank you all for participating. And here we go. Back to the conversation. All right, Josh. Let it rip, buddy.
I don't know. I'm all relaxed now. I got nothing to say.
Somehow I doubt that, my friend. Somehow.
No, I'm just kidding. I know exactly what I want to say. You know, hold on. What is that? Oh man, never mind. My background video just went. Anyway, so what I was thinking, as you were saying that, I noticed in the intro video, and I've seen your intro video several different times. I saw your partner in the video. Mm-hmm. When you were in going, thinking that you were going to be a priest, mm-hmm. I want to ask you something because I'm leading to what I'm going to say. Was the part of the battle with the struggle of going, here I am a priest, supposed to be celibate, and I'm gay, and like, what was the conflict for you with, you know, becoming a priest and also your sexuality?
So that was the crux. If this person you call God doesn't accept who I am, then mm-hmm. I want nothing to do with that God, because I don't feel unnormal. I don't feel fucked up. I don't mm-hmm. feel messed up. And I certainly don't feel like I'm broken. Right. So if your God doesn't think I'm worthy, then I don't need your God. I have this dialogue going on all the time. I have this relationship. So mm-hmm. I don't need that relationship. I want to bring this relationship to the game. So, mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know this, but I came out when I was 12, 13 years old. Officially. Actually, I came out officially in high school. Then when I turned, after I left home at 16, I was married for 24 years to a woman, had an amazing relationship.
And you still do.
I still do. Yeah. And that was, in a way, a sort of strategic choice in my life at that stage, because I came out of the gate like balls to the walls, man. I was, you know, if it moved, I wanted it.
Sounds like drugs.
Yeah. I didn't need all the drugs necessarily. I was just into it. But anyway, so that was the short answer, long answer to the question. So that was,
So the reason I asked is because the biggest struggle I had with the complete surrender of my life and going, all right, God, I'm all in. Because I knew what I was supposed to do when I was seven. Saw it after being molested, saw it clear as day. This is what you're supposed to do. Every time something traumatic in my life would happen, I would get a vision of what I was going to be doing. And it was supposed to inspire hope in me. It scared the crap out of me at that time in my life. Yeah. But One of the things that I struggled with for most of my life, because I was silenced after being molested by two men. I was silenced after being molested with my babysitter. I was silenced after being abused by my father, because we don't talk about what happens behind closed doors here. Mm-hmm. So one of the biggest wrestling matches I ever had with God, like every time that I would get arrested and it would be public, my name would be in the paper for getting arrested with a hooker or getting in a bar fight or whatever. I would get motivated, like, okay, I know I'm not living the way I'm supposed to. And I would get motivated. And the thing that would always happen every time I would get my life on track, that voice inside that would go, the voice, the part of me that is attracted to men. Mm-hmm. And I battled my sexuality. I didn't know if I was bi, was trisexual, which was like try anything, including the mattress. If I was like, literally, I had these phases, and each phase that I went through had this completely different, like just a different sexuality completely. I have multiple personality, which is called DID for those that don't know this. It's dissociative identity disorder, and it happens from repeated trauma at an early age. And my trauma, I got a bunch of it at age 7, and then it just kept on going. So mm-hmm. The point was this. Every time I'm like, okay, God, I'm ready. I would give in to my desires. But then I would try to cover it up with shame, because then mm-hmm. I was like, oh, God, what have I done? What have I done? And I had this internal battle nonstop, like, because I would go to church. I would hear that this was bad. I would hear all of these things that I'm going to hell. And I'm like, this is so confusing. And I would research, and I would try to find something that would give me hope, because what I was seeing in the Bible made me feel like I was going to hell, and I hated it. Mm-hmm. It took understanding, and it took a couple years into my walk with Christ to figure this out, that God loves me just the way I am. Mm-hmm. And when I finally wrapped my thick, dumb head around that idea and that concept, He loves me. Even when I'm strung out on meth, He loves me, damn it. Yeah. And you know what? After I accepted that, all of a sudden, I started making more loving choices for myself. Not abusing myself. I started not getting mad at myself when I looked at a guy and I was like, yeah, I'd bang him, you know? And here's the other part. I became completely free from having to lie about what was going on with me internally.
Yes.
And thank God every single day. I have a wife. I have the most amazing wife. And she is a gift. God moved mountains to bring us together. It made it painfully obvious the gift that she is. She loves each and every one of my altars that I switch. She loves every time one side of me is bisexual, the other side of me is straight, the other one's, you know, who knows what. And like, she loves all of that. Yeah. But you see, she didn't come into my life until I accepted that God loved me and then started making loving choices for myself. And I quit hurting myself, and I started using good discernment, and I started mm-hmm. seeking wisdom and all of those things. And little by little, my heart changed. I started to, I love myself. So now I don't need to go do an 8-ball of meth and have sex with 20 people over the course of 4 days. I don't need to go shoot up to inject meth or coke into my veins. I don't need to do those things. I don't want to do those things. I don't want to eat to make me 300 pounds anymore. Right. And little by little, each decision that was made that was a loving decision, all of a sudden, more and more that I had lost in my wreckage, all the pain that I caused other people, the devil inside me is a true story. And it's messed up. It's gross. It's evil. It's mean. It's nasty. It's triggering. It's awful, but it's true.
But it also got you here.
It got me here. It got me here. And I'm so grateful for it. Yeah. But I wasn't here if it wasn't for love. And I had to, before I could love me, before I could love anyone else, I had to accept that God loved me the way I was. And then after that, I began to fall in love with myself. And after I fell in love with myself, now my capacity to love others, it just keeps on growing.
And that's
I make loving choices for myself.
Isn't that extraordinary? The parallels are fantastic because I have different circumstances that brought me to that place. And mm-hmm. and I came to different conclusions because not different, but conclusions that are aligned with who this is, not with who you have your path, you have your experiences. Nobody else has those.
That's right.
And that's why when you talk about the acceptance pieces is astronomical, because that was the other question that would come up for me frequently is why would God make me? If that's the way this goes, why would he make me if I was supposed to be you? No.
That's so a good point.
As I go through my own life experience now, I can talk, this show is such a joy to me because I don't have to make things up. I don't have to do deep research. I've had the life experience, as you've had, to share my heart in a way that, take it or leave it, you can love what I say, you can hate what I say, and I don't care either way. I want you to have the opportunity to make that choice.
Yeah.
I want you to say, hey, you don't have to believe me, but taste this. It's not going to kill you, but taste it. We'll see what happens. It took me until really, I think probably this show to get to the place where I could embrace the fact that I am a man of God in my own right. That's who I am. That's my relationship. That's where I choose to be. But it's also what I choose to share in the best way I know how. And right now, this is the best way I know how. And if there's another way, then I'll do that. If it's writing a book, when I wrote my book, I told my clients for years, my clients were like, Jim, you should write a book. Jim, write a book. I'm like, I don't want to write a book. I have nothing to say in a book. I don't even know what I'd write a book about. But if I'm inspired to write a book, I will write a book because that's where I live. When I'm inspired, that means that me and God are having the same wavelength. And there I am driving down the road one day from Parker, Arizona, just minding my own business. And there it was. Here's the book. Bam. And you go. I looked at Michael and I said, I think I'm going to write a book. And he went, what? I said, if I was ever inspired, I would follow through. And here I am looking at this book in my brain going, where did this come from? And flash forward to, it took 4 or 5 years to get there, but it got there.
Hey, I know about that. I remember the first time I sat down to write. It was the most daunting task. And I'm like, I have no ending. Every time. And it took, and this is 15 years of doing this. Because I didn't really set out to completely wreck my life. I mean, literally 15 years ago, I really did try to turn my life around. It just didn't work out.
Yeah.
But anyway, but the book thing, it took my wife, honestly, the book that we have. So The Devil Inside Me is a book. It's an audio book and it's short films and all three are different. So it's not like when you read it and listen to it, it's not the same thing. You watch the short film, it's not the same thing. It's the same story, just told different from a different angle.
Sure.
And I love that. It was taxing emotionally and it was tough and it was hard, but I'm so grateful that if I didn't have my wife, I don't think I would have ever finished. But at the same time, I would have never had an ending I could tell without her. And I'm thankful for that. So there's something to say about waiting on the call, waiting on when you're led to, waiting to know when you get the vision or download. Because when we try to do things on our own, I think a lot of times we do it like we get excited, we see someone else, and we're influenced to do what they're doing. You go to the motivational speaking concert. Oh, I'll teach you to write a book in a weekend. Nah, screw those guys. That's not how you write a book.
No.
Writing a book so you can throw it on Amazon is not the thing. I'm not going to take your workshop to do it. I want to actually work at it. I don't want to do some half-ass thing. I mean, I'm a co-author with like 30 other people. And it's like, it means I don't even call myself an author because of that. I wrote a chapter. Like, I don't need credit for that. That's not like the people that call themselves an author and they're in a combined book. You're not an author. Write your own book first. because it's tough to call yourself a writer. That's work. It's a taxing, brutal, strenuous exercise. So anyone who writes the book, I cheers you. I don't care if it's about underwater basket weaving. God bless you, because it ain't easy.
That's not easy. That's the truth. It took me that from that point of inspiration that I shared with you, it was 3 or 4 months before the first sentence came out. And I was beside myself. I was just beside myself. I'm like, seriously, you dropped this shit in my head and then nothing? And I went to visit a friend of mine in Mexico who was a prolific writer and a fabulous writer. And I shared with him, I had this amazing inspiration and he looked at me across the table from breakfast and said, Jim, you just got to do the work. And I went, how dare you say that to me? Because that exact phrase is what I said to every client that I worked with for the previous 10 years. Just do the work and it will come together. And here he is saying, just do the work. And so I started laughing. And literally within the week after that, the day after I got home from that, was the first piece. I woke up with a sentence in my head that says, I want to take you on a journey. And I could feel all of the material behind it. And I was like, and I got in front of the computer and I wrote, I want to take you on a journey 20 pages later. And I went, oh my God, I'm getting goosebumps now just talking about it because it was so extraordinary. We got to take, what do you think about the break thing here, Joshua?
I know.
I'm looking at all of these fabulous people. Someone who, Jackie is out there and watching us today.
Hi, Jackie.
She says, we're two or more gathered in my spirit. I'm there with you. Yay, Holy Spirit in the house. And your lovely wife, Jessica, is here saying, hey there, and she loves you.
She could have been talking to you. I don't know.
She could have been. I mean, I love her back. It's all right. It's a good thing. So, let's take a quick one. We'll do a quick break here just to shift the energy, and we'll come back for a little bit more from the heart. We'll be right back.
Science of Transformation Method, and I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. All right, guys, www.thesciencetransformation.com. If you would like to learn more about how you can work with me, I would love to work with you. All the things that we talk about on the show are all the foundation of that. But ultimately, it's about shifting that experience, that consciousness of fear, and connecting and reconnecting in a way that's aligned in love and building that relationship with God, your higher self, Jesus, whatever you want to call that largest part of your experience, so that you can show up in the world in the most meaningful way possible, bringing all of you to the game. So www.thesciencetransformation.com. Check it out. And we're going to bring Joshua back in. Josh.
Hello.
He's going to take a couple minutes here to talk about what you do and all the good things that you have going on in the world, or whatever you'd like to talk about for a couple minutes to our audience to let them know more about who Joshua T. Berglund is and what he's got going on in the world.
Ooh. Well, listen, we are very fortunate, my wife and I, to be in a situation with our foundation. We have a nonprofit media organization and our own broadcast called Mediums. And, you know, I'm passionate about getting to do that every day, because with media, it's everything. And there's really no one that you can't work with. So that's awesome. But really, ultimately, I want to jump to something that is really more about what you talk about, and that's fear. You opened the show talking about fear, and also your show with Adventures in Truth. Fear and truth. Well, fear is obviously, it's full of crap and is a liar, but here's what I know about fear. The things that we are, well, no, I don't want to go that way. Help me here. It's funny. The things that I feared the most was truth. Being afraid that, God, I mean, I remember being silenced. I brought this up when I was younger. You know, if you say anything, bad things are going to happen to you. Or don't share what's happening behind closed doors. But I remember even as I got older, and all the opportunities that I had time to tell the truth, I was scared. I was scared of being judged for the desires that I had, of being scared of sometimes just reality, scared of my own shadow, scared of me, scared to be alone, scared to trust other people. God, all of that was such a lie. It was a lie because what I found out when I learned to tell the truth, and I had to learn because I was a liar, like a real liar, like where you couldn't tell that I was lying. I was a narcissistic liar. I had to learn to tell the truth, but here's what I learned. All the things that I was scared to tell the truth about ended up being the very things that I'm getting to bless the world with now. I don't bless the world that I have HIV. I don't bless the world that I've been in jail 6 times, that I've been homeless and bankrupt twice and lost my twins. I don't, like none of that stuff, none of that was like a gift to anyone else, but the freedom that I can speak about my past, the freedom in which I can speak about the things that I've been saved from, delivered from, is such a gift because I don't live in fear of anything. We down here, like literally down here is the courthouse where the George Floyd officers' trials were going on. We've had mobs of people around us. Our city is boarded up and gated up and barbed wired up. They're trying to install fear in everybody. I don't fear that. I don't fear violence. I don't fear any of it because of what I've learned about truth. When people say the truth will set you free, the layers and the depth of that statement go on for an eternity. And the reason why is this. We take the things that we're hiding, which is a secret, and we release it by telling the truth. Mm-hmm. That means we're trusting God with it. We're trusting God to use it. And here's what I've learned. All of those things that we've tried to hide and keep in the dark that we set free gets to be our blessing and our gift to the world. Part of it, a big part of it, because there's someone out there that is dying, literally dying to hear that secret, that thing that you're keeping hidden, because maybe they need to borrow some of your courage to talk about that they're being molested. They're struggling with their sexuality. They don't believe that God loves them. They don't believe that they can ever stop being a junkie. It's all lies.
Yeah.
The truth is the most healing, loving expression on this planet. So I didn't really have anything there prepared.
That was fantastic. And I would like to put an exclamation point on there, if I may. And that is a very simple statement. And that is, we are told, you know, when the telling of the story in the Bible of the crucifixion in particular, the thing that I always remember is, why has God forsaken me? God, why have you forsaken me? The reality is that never happened. The reality is we confuse what men do to each other as God acting in those men. And if you get real technical, it is. But ultimately, it is never a case of being forsaken, except by self, from self, for self. And when, like, as you said, that's the most extraordinary thing. I was getting all full because that's it in a nutshell. You know, the thing that we fear the most is our truth. We're trained to not believe in our truth. And so however long it takes, whether it's 20 years, 40 years, 30 years, whatever, we get to come to a place in some point in our lives where we get to show up in our fullness if we allow it. If we realize that we were never forsaken except to ourselves. And that when we take that relationship back and embrace it, it's never been, it never went away. We just pulled the veil off, went, oh, you've been there the whole time? Holy crap, what have I been doing? You know? But that was beautiful, Joshua. Thank you. That was fantastic. I love that. So we have, what do we got? We got about 9 minutes left here or so that we can, 8 or 9 minutes to, what's next on our heart here? What are we coming from the heart for?
You know, I always, there's some basic things that it's on my heart to say, because I don't think people hear it enough. Like, you're not too far gone.
Right.
Like, it's not too late to make your dreams come true. And like,
It's ever.
I mean, I can give you story after story after story, but my heart are for the people that were the most evil and effed up and, you know, corrupt and angry and rage filled and abused and beaten and all that, and including the abusers, because they learned it from somewhere.
Exactly.
You can turn your life around. Like, yeah, you can, and your dreams, like those dreams and visions that you get, that you had as a child, you didn't, but like, that's God showing you what's possible for you, yes, what you were created to do. And it's never too late, unless if you're dead, you know, but it's not too late. And the fastest way I know to be able to reach your destiny is this. And this is where, you know, I know that we all have a spirit inside of us, and we can call on any spirit that we want. If you want to call on a demon, trust me, I've been demon possessed. You don't want any part of that.
No.
But you can you call on, you were talking about Christ consciousness. You can call on the Holy Spirit. And boy, does the Holy Spirit love it when you call for it. Because,
yes,
yeah, I mean, he loves that.
Only every time.
Every time. And here's the thing. Other evil spirits will try to enter you without your permission. And I don't know if any of you have ever been asleep and ever had a demon try to enter you, but it's really freaking messed up. But you have to invite the Holy Spirit to come, because he is a gentleman. That said, I forgot what my point of this was. But this fast track to your dreams coming true, mm-hmm, and seeing your fruit be plentiful is be obedient to the call. And you all know what I'm talking about. You know that feeling that you get inside of your stomach when you're about to do something that maybe you shouldn't do, but you press on anyway, or you keep on drinking to dumb that thing down, because, you know, you can't quieten the spirit in you.
Yeah.
Be obedient to the call. The more that you can listen, and listen, if you don't know if it's of God, you don't know that it's the spirit inside of you going, hey, maybe you shouldn't do that, or even better, when it tells you to go take that leap of faith, and then you're like, no, I'm scared. Ah! The more obedient you are to that call, and trust me, when it's of God, God will confirm. And all you have to do is go, okay, are you sure? Confirm? Will you confirm this with me?
Give money
to a homeless person. It could be whatever. I'm telling you, if it's of God, he's going to get confirmation. If you pay attention to that and you're obedient to that, it will unlock everything for you. It is like this secret. It's like one of the secrets to life that people don't talk about enough. People look at it as obedience as a rule book. Trust me, I break more rules with Jesus than I ever did when I was playing with the devil. I promise you, and I was a criminal. I break way more rules. I love it too, because it's like it feels so, it kind of gives me the satisfaction of like being a rule breaker back when I was a bad boy, but mm-hmm, it's like I'm doing it now for God, so it makes it like way more cool and safe. All the good things in my life right now are from living a life of obedience and being obedient to the call. Why I have the wife I have? Because I was obedient and I disappeared for a year and just spent time alone and I learned to love myself. Another thing too, if you're in a relationship and you're getting beaten down and you're cheating and you're doing all those things because you're codependent and you're a drunk or you're a druggie, I'm not saying it to judge it because I was one, but don't bring your baggage into the next relationship because that person ain't fixing you.
Right.
Do the work to heal yourself before you bring anyone else into your mess. Because if you don't, all you're going to do is beat them down too. And I beat down a shitload of people. Forgive my French, Mom. Yeah. But the devil inside me, you can pick it up. It's about to be a book. You can go to livemonoworldwide.org and you can see it. You can listen to it. You can watch it. I hurt a lot of people because I hated myself and I hated everybody else. And all this love stuff, I didn't know who I was because I didn't love me to know who I was. Yeah. And I look back and I don't live with regrets, but I got a long laundry list of people that I pray and hope will forgive me one day. And so don't drag because you're lonely or you're horny or whatever. Don't drag other people into your baggage. It's the worst thing you can do. And I promise you, you two ain't healing each other. It doesn't work that way.
It does anyway, not.
No, I'm good. Very passionate about this subject.
You are. And it's wonderful. From my perspective, for the first time, actually, I love the use of the way you used obedience because it's obedience to the inspiration. It's obedience to that experience. And I call it energy up and energy down to keep it simple. But that's a trained experience, guys. So that inspirational experience is a trained experience, meaning you have to practice it. You have to be in a space of receptivity. You have to be there to hear it, to be aware of it. And then follow through with it and trust, because trust and faith are the two pieces that go beyond that. But we could spend another hour talking about that, which we don't have at this moment. So, but Joshua, I gotta say, this has been a fabulous conversation. I am super happy that you came on and we got to spend an hour talking from the heart. I feel this was an amazing conversation and a powerful one, which I hoped it would be. And I'm going to give you the last 30 seconds to say whatever you would like to the group from your heart for this lovely Friday afternoon, other than find your joy.
Yeah, you find your joy by using your gifts to be a blessing to other people. Yeah. Your gifts... Your bad day is not even really about you.
My last show was called "It's Not About Me." Why? I'm not making it about me, because that very thing is recognizing that all of the things that have happened, many of them had nothing to do with you. They were individuals acting out their own damage on you, which had nothing to do with you. You just got to be the ramification of that effect. Now, that's the place what you talk about. The challenge is that stuff sticks. And so you gotta be able to peel it off. And you do that through reattaching, realigning to that, opening up the channel to the joy and the love that is there for you to heal that. Baby steps, left foot, right foot, y'all. Left foot, right foot. That's how it works.
It's one day at a time. Literally, sometimes it's hour at a time.
Yeah, sometimes it's a minute at a time.
The surrender, people say, is a daily practice. Man, I used to have in my phone every hour to remind me to surrender, 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 just trust, trust. So anyway, but listen, I'm grateful for the opportunity, man.
You're an amazing man, Joshua. I love the energy you bring. I love the message you bring. And to everybody out there, especially those of you who came on the boards and shared your thoughts with us and said hi, we appreciate you very much. I'm sorry, Joshua, was one other thing you wanted to say?
No, I was just going to wish everybody a blessed weekend and say thank you for having me here. And I enjoyed it, man. You do a great job. You're fun to watch. And we've talked more. Really, we started talking over the last few weeks, and I've really enjoyed it. And you know, you're just a good dude, man. And I'm grateful that you are on this planet doing what you do.
And back at you. Thank you for taking the time on a Friday afternoon to hang out with me and have this wonderful conversation. Until next time, everybody, thank you for being a part of Adventures in Truth live cast. We'll see you again very soon. Have an amazing, amazing weekend.
God bless everyone.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thescientetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.